I'm John from Unqualified Gamers. Hello, a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the one you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com. And get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
You have been granted clearance by Director Phil Coulson. Stand by for SHIELD debriefing. All information to be discussed here is classified and may only be discussed among agents granted clearance by the SHIELD director.
And now it's time for your scheduled debriefing. I'm Agent Stargate Pioneer.
I'm Agent Haley.
And I'm Agent Lauren.
Welcome to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., a Marvel Comic Universe podcast. This is podcast number 59 on Agent Carter Season 1, Episode 5, The Iron Ceiling. This podcast is recorded on Wednesday, February 4th, 2015. Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a fan-based podcast on the ABC television show Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and the general Marvel Comic Universe.
Because screw 50 Shades of Grey, there's only one Red Room, and it's the one that produces Black Widows.
Nice.
If you'd like to talk to us about Black Widows, you can find all of our contact information on our website, legendsofshield.com, or you can call and leave us a voicemail, 844-THE-BUS-1. That's 844-843-2871. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, and YouTube by searching for Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. And if you'd like to get into a little bit of a deeper conversation, you can visit our forums at forums.gunnageek.com, or you can search for Gunna Geek on the Tapatalk app, and that's all one word.
And just a little reminder, this is the last time I'll throw this out at the beginning of the podcast. All 13 episodes of our podcast, the very 13 episodes that Consultants Wing and Consultants Operator and Consultants Beef recorded before we got a hold of the podcast, are available on the website for download. So go there, check them out. That's great. And curiously enough, the episode that's received the most downloads is episode 3. And that's because the title of the episode got truncated. It's not Asset. And I'll leave it to your imagination of what it got truncated to. And with those three, that truncation actually makes sense. So I don't know how that happened, but awesome.
So you're saying if you want a successful podcast, just name all the episodes stuff that's going to get searched for? Yeah,
exactly. Well, if you go to ATGN, they got a bunch of downloads because they were talking about pantsless dancing a couple weeks ago.
Right. I remember hearing about that.
Yeah, quintupled their downloads because of that. It was awesome. And talking about all the podcasts, thank you to everyone who nominated us for the podcast awards, or any Gunna Geek podcast for the podcast awards. As we record this, the nomination period has closed. And if any of us have made it through in the Gunna Geek Network to the actual podcast awards for the voting, it will come out in mid to late February for 2 weeks. So we'll let you all know that that is going on. Pay attention to the Twitter and the Facebook. Vote early, vote often. It all counts. And then finally, a final network note, congratulations to the video game podcast on the network. Unqualified Gamers is recording its 100th episode this week. So if you get a chance, hit them up, Cody and John, and give them a big congratulations.
Yay, congrats.
Woot.
I was clapping there.
And why not? Because we got to see the Howling Commandos this week.
Yes, and we got to see Agent Peggy Carter being a total badass.
Yes, we did.
Yes.
Even more so than usual.
Yeah, well, especially in comparison to poor old Thompson.
Oh, what a putz.
I know. He got the...
It's like, on the one hand, I feel kind of bad for him because you kind of see the smooshy center under the...
douchey exterior.
Outer jerk cell of machismo. But on the other hand, he's still a dick.
I know. It didn't help him at all, did it? Matter of fact, it made it worse because he's a putz on the battlefield. He wakes up in the middle of people infiltrating the camp and he decides to kill them all even though they were surrendering. Okay.
Well, the thing is, it was dark. They are in an area where they're constantly being shot at. So yeah, he freaked out because they're expecting to be ambushed and shot and killed and stabbed and all this stuff. What makes that... I think under that situation, and especially because they don't really talk about PTSD in World War II veterans, that could have given him a pass. It was the freaking out, burying the surrender flag, and then playing it up and making it sound like, oh yeah, you know, they was about to slit the guy's throat and I, you know, saved him and all the stuff. That is what makes it kind of unforgivable to me.
Yeah, it just didn't help at all. Still, same thing. Although, I will say, I don't think he's an agent for anybody else. I think he's just a putz and a dick.
Exactly.
And so, he's going to have her back at some point in time. And it's just, I don't want that to happen.
But at the end, he did invite her out to the bar with the guys. And he's like starting to accept her.
Yeah, a little bit.
I think he's turning around.
Well, you know, if you invite her to the bar enough, she knows what you drink so that down the road, if she ever connects back with you, she will bring you booze. But the chief, he was being a little sneaky too. He was using all his resources available to him.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I like about the characterization of the chief that we're seeing. I keep forgetting his name and I keep referring to him as Eli because that was his character's name on Boardwalk Empire. Dooley, that's it. Thank you. But one of the things that I like about his characterization, he could just be the same kind of, you know, a girl, a boys club, macho man thing. No, he's somebody who genuinely cares about his job. And yes, he's very focused on this, but he is willing to, you know, do all this stuff. He does want to genuinely do the right thing. He is willing to give Carter a chance because she has access to these assets that nobody else here does. He's kind of in his own way, not a bad guy.
Right. And he does make a point. You know, he's looking for the truth. He's not looking to crucify Howard Stark or, you know, it's not a witch hunt. He just wants the truth.
Yeah, and that's a good, like a counterintelligence FBI agent. I know he's SSR, which is a little bit different, but that's how they should think. It's like, I know there's three different stories here, and actually there's more than that, but he simplified it. There's three different stories. I just want the truth. And I think that got Jarvis thinking. And with the card being passed and call me anytime, you know that's going to come back in the final three episodes.
Oh, definitely.
There's going to be a phone call at some point in time. And yeah, Adam said in chat, I don't trust his reporter friend. And I don't know. I mean, reporters, they try to get the scoop, they try to get the story. But at the same time, if it's going to benefit them in the future to get a source, they will be truthful with a government agent. So it all depends. I don't know. It's a story, so it's not real life. Who knows?
I think we probably aren't even going to see that guy again. That's the sense I got.
I wouldn't recognize him anyway with the beard and everything. So you talked to Lauren already about 50 Shades of Grey. It's coming out this weekend, right?
Well,
this was the perfect way. I don't know if they planned this stuff or what, but with the whole handcuff things, I'm like, ooh, I don't understand. Why are they handcuffed to the beds?
So they don't run away.
Well, first of all, to keep them from running away. And second of all, because they are training them to be deadly. And because when you train enough people to be deadly, they will eventually realize that they outnumber you.
Oh.
It's their way of controlling them.
Right. They don't want to get their throats slit in the middle of the night.
Right. Okay. So the girl that Dottie killed at the I assume it was Dottie that killed the other girl?
She is listed in the credits as young Dottie, yes.
Okay. So Dottie kills a girl. I swear it's the same actress that is in there that stabs Dum Dum.
So I was looking at the credits because I was trying to figure out some of these people that were really familiar. And by the way, the guy that plays Happy Sam Sawyer, Leonard Roberts, I was like, he's so familiar.
He was on Buffy.
He was on Heroes, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was DL.
But on Buffy, he was one of the soldiers from season 4.
Yeah, he was part of the initiative.
Yep.
So these little kids, they're listed as 10-year-old Dottie, 10-year-old Anya, and 10-year-old Ava.
Okay, so Anya and Ava are two different actresses?
Yes.
Okay. It just looks similar. I didn't have time to go back and compare and look at the credits, but thanks for doing that. They are two different. They look so similar.
They all looked really similar. It's because they have this exact same hair.
They are going for a uniform look.
That was freaky with the subliminal messages. I know, Lauren, you were tweeting that. I was watching that as it was happening. And the subliminal messages, I'm like, oh, that actually works. That programming works.
Well, the science in that is, I think, not quite conclusive, less than conclusive. But in terms of comic book science, I mean, I guess.
Pretty solid.
Right. I know there's subliminal messages in store music and stuff like that. They're like, buy and stuff like that. I know what's in there.
Really? Because when I hear the music at our store, it makes me think kill.
Yeah. Back when I worked at Walgreens and I used to hear the same Olivia Newton-John song every half hour on the half hour.
It's because your brains are rebelling. You're actually fighting the urge to buy stuff.
Taylor Swift singing Why You Gotta Be So Mean like 8 times a day. It's great.
Okay. I listen to podcasts about podcasting, right? And I was listening to one and it was describing several podcasts and they went into this whole little realm of multiple, like dozens of Taylor Swift podcasts. I'm like, really? She's that much of a sensation that dozens and dozens of podcasts are out there on her, devoted towards her? That is crazy.
Yep.
People like what they like, dude.
Okay. There you go. Most of it is like teen girls and girls in their 20s and stuff like that. But anyway. But Dottie is so conditioned, she handcuffs herself as an adult.
Yep. That's how she's used to sleeping.
Yeah. For the longest time, I fell asleep with the TV on. And once I got married to my husband, once we started like sharing a bed and all that, he needs complete silence and darkness to sleep. And yeah, let me tell you, it's quite an adjustment trying to go from one to the other.
Oh, so on that realm, I found out that Mingyang Fogarty, who is Grammar Girl, who doesn't do Grammar Girl podcasts anymore, but anyway, she basically had these headphones on for sleeping that are flat against your ears and it's like a big headband.
Yeah. Mine finally came in.
Oh, you got them?
That's great. They're technically ear warmers.
Yeah.
But okay, so I've been having a little bit more trouble falling asleep than I have been in the past few months. So I've been falling asleep listening to like NPR.
Yeah, that'll do it.
And just put on a TED Talk and it's great. So I've been putting in my earbuds and then I wake up in the morning and first of all, my ears hurt because the inside of my ears are kind of funny shaped. So if I wear earphones at all, it hurts. And also the cords were like, I woke up one morning and they were like, it was literally tied around my neck.
Right.
And it was like, whoa, okay.
So you got the Wi-Fi ones or the Bluetooth ones or whatever? Awesome.
Yeah. Groupon is fantastic.
Yeah.
It's not exactly those like sleep headphone stuff, but I mean, I figure they're ear warmers. It's close enough.
Right. So the corded one, just for anybody out there that's interested in these, the corded ones, I think, are $30, maybe $40. But
they're about 40.
Bluetooth ones are $100. So you get what you pay for there. And you have to worry about charging them and everything like that. But getting back to the girls, one last thing. The girl that she killed, is that the girl she was sharing bread with?
Yes, it was.
That is so freaky.
Yeah, it reminded me of the legends about like the stories about back in the ancient times and stuff. There's like, oh, you know, that's how they proved how hardcore this army was. They'd give the soldiers a puppy and they'd raise it and then they'd have to, you know, prove they were hardcore by killing a puppy. It's kind of what it reminded me of.
Also, The Unsullied.
Which is where George R. R. Martin got the idea from.
Right.
Yeah, it's like she has this hidden food and she shares it with her friend. That girl is her friend. Because, you know, at first, when I first watched the episode, I thought, okay, what this person does is there's only enough food for this many people. So, you know, you have to split it. And then I watched it again and no, it's like hidden food.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, again, kind of a throwback to last week's episode with chicken pockets.
Yep.
And so, yeah, this girl that she's killing is her friend, which is why it kind of made that scene right after where Dottie offers to give her, you know, half of her baguette to Peggy a little and then says, oh, I can never finish mine. Heartbreaking. Because, yeah, it kind of goes back to like, oh, yeah, she cares for the other girls here. It's just that, you know, the training takes over.
Right.
So, okay, question. How the heck did Peggy know that the message was in Russian?
Because she's Peggy Mother Bleeping Carter.
I guess.
That's how.
That's the only thing I can think of. She's just...
Plus, she knows that they're Russian agents, and it was a Russian agent's typewriter.
Yeah.
All right. I thought it was a normal typewriter. I didn't see the keys on it. They were Russian keys, or they were normal, what do you call it, English keys, or whatever?
They were the...
Well, the whole code was in numerics, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So it wouldn't matter what kind of keyboard they used.
Right.
But yeah.
Yeah. She knew these guys were Russian agents. Yeah. So
then if you do, I guess what they were trying to do is they were trying to do like all these different codes in English and substituting like the English letters and stuff like that.
Yeah.
When they should have been substituting the
Cyrillic,
Russian alphabet.
Yeah. The Cyrillic.
Yeah. The Cyrillic.
Cyrillic. Yeah. Cyrillic. Sorry. Okay. So if anybody's interested in how coding has developed over time and specifically how it was during the 20th century, because that was really the revolution of computer-based coding, you can go to the NSA website. Yeah, I know, Big Brother. They're listening to you right now. or listening to us right now. So there you go.
Really? Are they fans?
Yeah. Well, I mean, they soak up everything. So, you know, doesn't matter. Whatever makes it to the top of the heap in the morning, they listen to. But in the NSA.gov website, there is actually writings from the Cryptological Museum that they run. So you can look into that and you can find out all about the World War II code breaking, the Enigma machines, and Mr. Turing, who is actually considered one of the three greatest mathematicians of the 20th century.
There's also, at the moment, a lot of interest in this. There's a movie that just came out, The Imitation Game, which I haven't seen. But there's a TV show, actually, called The Bletchley Park Circle, I think, or The Bletchley Circle. And it's about the workers at Bletchley Park doing all the code breaking and stuff. Specifically, I think it focuses on the women who worked there. And I want to say it's a BBC show, but I'm not positive. Anyway, if you look it up, it's online somewhere. And it's one of those ones I've been meaning to watch since forever.
Yeah, I've not heard of that. So I'm guessing it's a BBC show because I haven't heard from it about
okay,
it.
Okay, I'm
but,
Googling it now.
Okay. So Peggy, she's very competent. We just talked about she knew it was the Russian code, whatever. But she's got a huge blind spot. And that's like normal people. She's trying to have a normal person connection to the ladies at the Griffiths. And she just assumes everybody is A-okay. And they're not.
She has no reason to suspect otherwise.
I don't know. If I was an operative like Peggy, I'd be paranoid of everything.
Oh, Nick Blood was on this show.
Eh?
Nick Blood.
It was a BBC show then, right?
Seems to look like, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's she didn't really let her guard down or anything too much.
Well, but, I mean, the whole purse being thrown down and she doesn't go through her things afterwards and stuff like that. She doesn't realize her keys are gone.
Yeah, that was sloppy.
Yeah, that she didn't realize her keys were missing. That was not quite believable.
Yeah, there's that. But at the end, jumping ahead to the end again, Dottie actually doesn't find Captain America's blood, which is awesome that she doesn't. But she does know that Peggy's an operative, probably working for the SSR, and is interested in Stark Tech. So whatever that means.
And that was the knockout lipstick she was sniffing, right?
Yeah, she actually put it on, okay. Too, I thought.
No, she sniffed it and she smiled.
Oh.
Because she's like, I know what that is.
Yeah, she's going to put it on, but who's she going to kiss in the Griffith? I just, like, oh, who's she going to kiss? Hey.
No, that whole bit with her looking in the mirror and, like, doing the impersonation, that was, like, again, creepy, but kind of sad.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I don't know, wondering, like, you know, trying to, like, take her life and stuff.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe I'm seeing a little too much into it, but...
Yeah, I wasn't sure if she was going to try to impersonate her or not. I'm guessing we'll see in the next episode or two, because back then, IDs can be faked pretty easily. Credentials can be faked, because they're not like the high-tech stuff that we have these days. So, I don't even think there's pictures associated with IDs back then.
It wouldn't be required to have a picture ID for a lot of things.
Right.
Just like, oh, that's got your name on it. That counts.
Okay. So another question. The message that Peggy decrypts mentions of a Havoc reactor, I believe. But yet when they do get to this place, they're talking about like a photonic amplifier. So I didn't know if that was a disconnect or are we talking two different things there or whatever. I know I'm splitting hairs, but...
Well, I mean, Havoc Reactor could be the code name for it.
Yeah, okay. Like, Dr. Havoc was the original one, but it was Stark Tech. Yeah, whatever. Hopefully, they'll unearth that, otherwise it's a disconnect. But, okay, the smell of herring in the air. I would not know if I smelled herring. It's like, do you indeed smell fudge when there is no fudge present?
When there's no possible... source of fudge smell.
And for those of you that don't get that reference, it's Warehouse 13, but the smell of herring when there's no herring in fact present kind of reminded me of that. Okay, so I thought about this back and forth a little bit. The 107th Regiment, it's still operating. And was like, really? And then I thought, well, you know, it's only 1946. We probably still had a lot of troops over there back then. So I guess they would still be on the border.
Yeah, plus with stuff was starting to heat up right around then between the U.S. and Russia.
Oh, that was like instantaneous.
Yeah.
If you ever seen the movie Patton, that whole scene actually happened. It was just not as picturesque or whatever. But yeah, Patton basically said, yeah, let's take care of this now so we don't have to do it later. And MacArthur did the same thing in Korea, too. So he wanted to nuke North Korea. So there were two very successful generals that and just wanted to scorch the earth and take what they had to do. So yes, that happened right away in Europe anyway, in like 46, 47, and then in the early 50s in Korea.
Okay, so the Howling Commandos.
Right.
Uh-huh.
In the comics, Happy Sam Sawyer was actually the captain above Nick Fury.
Oh yeah?
And he was a white guy, but Gabe Jones was the black guy that was originally in the comics. And I'm a little sad that they didn't include him here, but they probably couldn't get the same actor. So like, I guess it's okay.
Yeah. I wonder if they even tried.
Hard to say.
Yeah.
But then Junior Juniper, as soon as they introduced him, because in the comics, he's the only Howling Commando to ever die. And he died fairly early on.
He did.
Spoilers for a book from 50 years ago. But yeah, as soon as they introduced him, I was like, oh, he's going to eat it. And then, you know, he did.
And Adam says in the chat, plus his grandson's dead now, too.
Too soon.
Aww. Yeah, aww. I know, man.
Aww. We don't know that that's his grandson. They never actually have told us who Tripp's grandfather was.
And I don't know if they will now.
Probably not.
Okay, so Peggy is changing, before we get to the Howling Commandos, she's changing with the tag team in the boys' locker room, because there is no ladies' locker room. Okay, I got that. But then, so she's all comfortable with this. She's been with the 107th. She's been to war. She's been all over the place. But then she's shocked when Sousa sees her, really?
I don't think she's shocked. It's just more that he startled her.
Yeah, okay. Well, she wasn't paying attention to the conversation that was going on just across the lockers.
How did Sousa not see her when he walked in?
Yeah.
Because, like, whatever.
I mean, they were all doing it for the effect.
Well, maybe he was distracted. I don't know.
Yeah. I think they were doing it for the effect so that he would see her bullet scars. But
right.
If she really was an operative, that wouldn't have been a big deal at all, in my opinion.
Again, I think it's more that it caught her by surprise. That she'd been out of that context for a while. So it was just like, oh, yeah. Okay.
All right.
Plus, I guess probably because he was acting weird about it. I don't know.
Oh, weirdness all around. It's network TV. So what's the difference between a Yeti and an abominable snowman?
One of them's real.
Right.
A Donna girl, I think, said, was it a Yeti, abominable snowman, or a bumble?
Bumble's bouts. Well, we found out what Leviathan was, though. That was a thing that we had up in the air for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, and I found an article earlier today that I'm kind of kicking myself for not reading earlier. It's from Comic Book Resources, and it mentions that Leviathan was actually introduced in the comics. It's just not in a series that I read.
Right.
In the past 5 years, Jonathan Hickman introduced it in Secret Warriors number 11. And this article on Comic Book Resources, which is titled Marvel's Agent Carter and the Road to the Red Room, talks a little bit about Leviathan in the comics and Leviathan as we've seen it on Agent Carter and how the two might possibly connect.
Mm. Well, you got to give us a little credit because Leviathan is about 10 or 12 or two dozen different things in the comics. So it wasn't like it was one organization that was squirreled away. When it first came up, there was a lot of possibilities for it. So I can't really point that, hey, we had all the clues that it was this specific Russian shadow organization. So there you go. Now, did I miss the pictures of Peggy with her bullet hole scars at the party, or were they there the whole time?
They were there the whole time. It's just that they didn't really focus on them because we were looking at her hair.
Yeah.
Right. And probably a lot of the time it was covered by her hair.
Yeah. And plus, I remember when we saw those bullet scars, I flashed back to the very first episode when she's changing and getting ready for work. And we first see those scars.
Oh, wow. I'll have to go back and watch that.
It's in, like, seriously, the very first scene, I think.
Yeah, right. Episode one. Yeah. Okay. So the battle was pretty cool. Peggy definitely took charge. Even Dum-Dum deferred to her.
Yeah, that was cool. I've seen a lot of people have been gifting that scene. The what would Cap say if I left his best girl behind? He'd say, listen to Peggy.
Do as Peggy says.
That's it.
Do as Peggy says.
Okay, so earlier in the episode, there was the scene between Peggy and Jarvis, and he said something along the lines of, do you expect them to respect? I don't remember what he said, but she said, I expect I will make them. And she does.
Yes. Yeah, she does. Over and over again. I wanted to bring that up because Jarvis said to Peggy early on, you're finally trained and skilled in the art of fetching coffee. And I wrote, are we still on this? But then I had to backtrack a little bit. And that's going to be a continual theme. I mean, it's not going to go away. It's going to be there the whole time.
Plus, he's trying to kind of, I think, rub it in to try to get her back on their side.
Yes.
The whole, well, they're not going to be putting you to your full use. You can, you know, use the full extent of the abilities and stuff that you have and that you've trained and all this stuff with us.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's just, it got a little annoying to me here because I thought we had moved past it, but I just have to get it in my mind that it's not going to go away. It's going to be a fact of life because it was a fact of life for a long time after World War II. Matter of fact, in some cases, it's still going on, which is sad.
Right. But. I mean, we just started allowing women into frontline combat positions, what, 2 years ago? Was it even that long ago?
Yeah, and they're not. We've had this discussion at work several times, and even though they're allowed in training for special forces, they're not actually allowed in the field ops yet. At least that's what I understand. So that hasn't been going on, but they're allowed in combat aircraft. So that's about as close as women can get to the front these days. In a specific combat role. Now, right. There are support functions that are right up with combat, but you're not actually commanding combat troops or anything like right. that. So,
G.I. Jane came out 20 years ago. Like, catch
oh my
up.
God.
Oh my God. Oh, jeez. Oh, the shaved head of Demi Moore comes in my head.
Oh, Viggo Mortensen's mustache, man.
And his short shorts.
And that man was Aragorn.
Yes. The whole thing, including the Miss Union Jack, never speak again. And I didn't know. I mean, is this a possibility for Carter to be an actual superhero?
I'm fine with that.
I would be cool with that.
I think she's going to stay a super secret spy, though.
I would never have guessed Skye was going to be a superhero, so didn't know. Or at least superpowered human or inhuman or whatever.
No, I wouldn't have either.
Yeah.
No, me either.
Okay, so they free this Dr. Ivchenko, and I was thinking, and then they're treating him like he's one of them or something. I'm like, he could have been a plant. Are you guys not going to grill him or anything?
So,
well, yeah.
Just one random side thing about this guy. I was watching, and I'm like, this guy looks so familiar. Why does this guy look so familiar? So I had to check IMDb while I'm watching the episode. This is Rick Olier from Star Wars Episode 1, who was, I believe, one of the first action figures released and the first character names. And way back in the day, people were like, oh man, I bet this guy is going to be really important. He's just the guy that flies the Queen's ship in Episode 1. That's yeah. all he does. That is seriously all he does. And he's every one of his lines is him stating the complete obvious.
Adam in the chat says, Captain Obvious. Yeah, there
yes,
you go.
Yes, he is Captain Obvious. Captain Rick Obvious.
Awesome.
But yeah, in this, he is Captain Dr. Russian guy, possibly Ukrainian.
So I enjoyed the action in here. It's hard not to have action with the Howling Commandos. I enjoyed the mystery going forward and basically coming to a conclusion with Susan. Now, why he didn't call her out right then and there, I don't know. But maybe because there wasn't time in the episode to deal with it or anything. So
I think that from a meta point of view, but also I think he might be trying to kind of weigh in himself, like how much does he trust her and of course like her versus his sense of duty?
Or if he's working for Leviathan, how can I use this against her?
I really don't think he's working for Leviathan.
And he might not be. I'm just
or
saying that.
Or maybe Hydra.
Yeah, well, they're
no!
True too. Yes, Sitwell lives.
So many quarters. I will have so many quarters from y'all.
But we're already starting to see Thompson turn around on Peggy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't think... Okay, reasons why... Okay, we know that Peggy says that her husband was one of the ones that was freed from that right. Italian area. He was stationed in the Pacific.
That's true.
Yeah, I keep thinking of the King of the Hill episode where Cotton keeps saying that he was in Europe and the Pacific in like the same week. And yeah, no, I don't think that's
probably not what happened.
Granted, I'm not an expert on World War II, like by any means. Plus, I think they're probably, if anything, I think their relationship will be one of maybe eventual mutual respect.
That'd be cool.
So the point where the similarities in my head between Ward and Thompson break down is Ward, as jaded as he is, he's never been a putz, right? He's never made a huge operational tactical mistake like Thompson did. So
when he turned his back on Skye, that was probably a pretty big mistake.
Yeah, okay. He was blinded by love. I doubt Thompson was blinded by love on Okinawa, but the similarities break down for me there. But other than that, I still say they're very similar. It's the chiseled face. Just does it. All right, what else you got, Haley?
at the very beginning of the movie and then again later, or sorry, episode, and then again later on, we see that they're using Disney movies to teach the kids English.
Uh-huh.
I have a friend who, she started school, like grew up and went to elementary school in Taiwan and didn't come to the U.S. until she was, I don't know, like 8. And that she actually had to take class every day where she would watch Disney movies to help improve her English.
Wow.
Yep. So that was just fun for me.
I wonder if that's one of the reasons why Dottie has that whole kind of wide-eyed... I mean, I know she's trying to go for the, you know, wide-eyed, naive, Midwestern girl thing.
Uh-huh.
But since they were making them do that with Cinderella, I mean, not Cinderella, Snow White.
Right.
Over and over and over again, and Snow White has this, like, way of talking that I absolutely can't stand.
Right. She looks more like Cinderella to me than Snow White, but yes, yeah, I can see her
that
acting.
That might be why I said.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, no, the way that Snow White talks, it's that really specific 1930s, oh my goodness, you know?
Uh-huh.
I can't stand it.
I don't think we'll have to deal with her too much longer. I think she's going to show herself. So, Haley, anything else?
I'd rather see the Statue of Liberty.
I kept wondering if that was genuine interest or if she's planning to, like, do something to it. Because she also said Central Park. And I'm like, but there's not much you can do unless it's like you're looking for like a whole crowd of people. And I don't know how crowded Central Park is or was. And like all these other places that she's naming. I've never been to New York, so.
Yeah, I was born in New York.
Oh, hey.
Yeah. I've been once. We went to Central Park. That was about it.
Did you go to Central Park?
No, we didn't go to Central Park. We went to Central Park.
Oh, okay.
And we rented bicycles and we rode through the park. It was fun. Good times.
Good time. All right. I like the episode. What do you guys think?
This is probably my favorite one, right up there with the second episode, the one with the radio play.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I liked this one a whole lot because we finally got to see Peggy start showing these guys what she can do.
I still think the second episode, or the second half of the first episode, whatever you want to call it, but the second episode.
I'm calling it the second episode. Okay. It has a name of its own.
Right, I do like that one. The radio plays, I've forgotten about those, but those are awesome. I've forgotten about those that they were in that particular episode. I haven't forgotten about them. And I like the fight on the top of the milk truck. That was awesome, too. So that's kind of my favorite one. But yeah, this was good. It sets up the final three episodes. And yes, we're at that point where we have only had 3 hours of Agent Carter left. And then we get to see Skye deal with becoming a super person.
Not bad for a girl.
Nope. Either one.
Which, again, I had to point out on Twitter, Russians did use women in combat roles in World War II.
Yes, they did.
Actually, it's incredibly interesting to read up on and, you know, listen to history discussions on Russian women in combat and why this freaked out the German side and read about the Night Witches. And actually, Garth Ennis wrote a 3-issue comic about the Night Witches. I can't remember what it's called right now, but Garth Ennis, who wrote Preacher and who wrote The Punisher for a while, he does these war comics on and off, and they're actually pretty good.
Mm. Well, Russia did lose by far, like, the most people in World War II because they had to retreat all the way back to Moscow, basically, and they used winter to fend off the Germans, and they kept pressing the other allies to open the front in Europe. So that would take away resources from the Germans and the Italians on the Eastern Front. So the death count is somewhere between, I don't remember exactly what it is, but it's somewhere between 10 and 50 million. And that's a lot of people to lose.
If you're interested in this, there's a podcast called Hardcore History.
Yeah.
There was a series that he did called Ghost of the Ostfront.
Yeah.
And it's 4 episodes and each one's about 2-ish, maybe 3 hours long, I want to say, about this specific subject. And it is just a brutal listen, but it's so interesting. And there's also a book that I love. It's a fantasy book and it's very heavily about Russian mythology and fairy tales. But the end of the book takes place at the Siege of Leningrad.
Yep.
And it's seriously good.
Right.
Oh, the book is called Deathless by Catherine Valente. I forgot to mention that.
Okay. So the point that I was bringing up there was that with so many people that were dying that were Russians, they had to use everybody. It was all hands on deck sort of thing. So you had women in combat because you didn't have men to put into combat. So there was that situation as well. All right. Do we have anything else about the episode?
Wahoo!
All right, really looking forward to next week. Alrighty. Okay, so this week in news, Marvel news, first of all, ratings for the episode. Haley, what do we have this week?
It's pretty similar to where it has been, 4.25 million this week.
Yeah.
I don't remember exactly what it was last week, but I know that's right in the ballpark of where it's been.
Yeah, and for a network show, that's bordering on low, but then again, so I just happened to be on a website looking at All the Americans, which is an FX series that's really good, right? Very well acclaimed and everything.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, especially if you like women Russian spies.
Speaking of Russians.
Right. So I was looking at their ratings, though, and they don't have a single episode over two, which for a cable network, that's about what you're shooting for. But
unless you're The Walking Dead.
Right. In which case you go, woohoo, gold, we got it. But in any event, it is a double standard, because if you're on a main network, they want you to get more than this. I know that they're still hopeful for getting a second season. And if you look at the first season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. compared to the second season in terms of storyline and stuff like that, there is a market increase. So hopefully we'll get a second season of Agent Carter and the ratings will continue to go up. So hopefully. So talking about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., we do have casting on an Inhuman.
Right. For those of you that watched The Tomorrow People, you'll know Luke Mitchell as one of the guys who didn't own shirts.
Beef will be all over that.
Yeah, he's going to be playing an Inhuman in the back half of season two. We don't know exactly what character he'll be playing, but he's going to help Sky learn how to understand and control her powers.
Mm-hmm.
But in The Tomorrow People, both of the guys, Luke Mitchell and Robbie Amell, would read through the scripts and then be like, hey, in this scene, I could not have my shirt on, right? So I'm hoping something similar will happen as he reads the scripts for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I had not been paying attention to Robbie Amell at all before he showed up.
Before you saw him with the shirt off?
No. That too. No. But before he came on Flash, right?
Mm-hmm.
But now that I know who he is, I keep going back to all these shows and I'm like, hey, that was him. Because he was in that President sitcom that was on network TV. I can't even remember the name of it. But Bill Pullman was the president. It was canceled after
I remember that. I remember that. I don't remember the name, but I think Josh Gad was on it too.
Yeah, he was. Yes. He was the beefy boyfriend that was brainless. So.
Oh, him. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So I've seen this guy and then go back to Revenge, which is, you know, my girl. Agent 13, she does that, and he's in the first season of that, too, so I can assume he dies because I haven't seen him cast in it past that. So, yeah, Robbie Amell is all over the place, and I can only imagine we're going to see more and more of him, especially since he's the cousin of Steven. So there you go. But we also have additional casting news across Marvel Universe, and one of the casting news that we have is in AKA Jessica Jones.
Yes! Actually, we have two bits of casting. Woo-hoo. Let's see. The first one is Rachel Taylor will be joining AKA Jessica Jones as Patricia Trish Walker. The way that they're doing her on the TV show is that she's a syndicated radio talk show host, formal model, and child TV star known to her adoring fans as Patsy Walker. Comic readers will know Patsy Walker as Hellcat.
Okay.
And yeah, she was a member of the Defenders. I know that I've read some stuff with her, but like, she's one of those ones that I'm like, oh, it's her. And then I like never really read much with her.
All right.
She was a superhero. I was looking at Comic Vine, and because she was like one of those 1940s created characters, the explanation for that is that her mom used to write stories about her.
Okay.
And those are the 1940s versions. So I think that's how they're doing the whole child
star
thing.
She was in all the romance comics and stuff, right?
Yeah, Miss America magazine, number 2.
Right. So I think I read this article and I believe that she actually popped up as a main character, what, in 76 or something like that? Did I get that right?
Yeah, she donned the superhero identity of Hellcat in 1976.
All right.
And there's like, if you go to Comic Vine and you look up Hellcat, you can read a lot about, for a while there, she was involved with Beast from X-Men. She learned psychic abilities from Moondragon, who is a member of the Guardians of the Galaxies and also Drax's daughter. And she assisted Doctor Strange. She lost her psychic powers. Just all this stuff. She's had a history. Oh, yeah. She was on Fearless Defenders. Yeah. Yes, she was a member of the Defenders. She's a superhero. And it'll be interesting to see how she fits in with AKA Jessica Jones.
So Rachel Taylor, she's in the loft, which is with, what's his name, Beefy?
Cyclops. I forget who else is in it. Oh, Carl Urban's in it.
Carl Urban, that's who
she's
I was thinking of.
Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah.
666 Park Avenue.
Grey's Anatomy was a show that I watched with my wife for a few years before. I just couldn't take the same old drama happening over and over. I think at the end of season two, I said, nah, I can't do this anymore. So I assume that the show is not on anymore.
Oh, it's in the American. Yeah,
there's a new episode tonight.
Great. On Grey's Anatomy? Really? Wow.
Yes. Yep.
They're in season like 10.
All right.
Oh, she's in an episode of Hercules. She was in the American remake of Shudder, which was pretty abysmal. And also, aka Jessica Jones casting, Carrie Ann Moss, Trinity herself, is also cast in it as a character known as Harper, a person in position of authority who could prove a powerful ally to Jessica. If the titular character doesn't completely alienate her first, that is.
Well, again, I hope Carrie Ann Moss is not just a one episode actress and actually, you know, lasts longer in the series. So hopefully.
Let's check IMDb.
I'm still hoping to see more Lucy Lawless.
I know everybody is. Know. You're not the only one. Absolutely everybody. Because again, in the first episode of season two of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., she dies. She's upside down in the SUV, right? In the opening scene of the second episode, she's no longer in the SUV. So I'm just hoping that somebody pulled her out and that she survived.
It just seems like a waste to cut off her arm if all you're going to do is kill her.
Right.
Like, you could have a character with a cool cyborg arm. Why you got to kill her?
I don't. So yes, Carrie Ann Moss is awesome. Of course, everybody remembers her as Trinity from The Matrix, and it will be awesome seeing her in a Marvel-based entity. It's hard to say TV show because it's on Netflix, yeah. But
I'm really interested in seeing who Harper is. I'm wondering if it's like, if she's going to be the totally not Carol Danvers in this, because in the Alias comics, Carol Danvers is a former friend of hers and like the only person from the Avengers that she still talks to, and is kind of like her gateway back into the superhero scene.
Hmm. Well, you know, hopefully it's not like Dr. Harrison Wells in The Flash. It's like, I don't think I can handle that with Carrie Ann Moss.
Okay, well, while we're talking about Carol Danvers, I'll bring up something that's not really news, but Katie Sackhoff did an interview on the Women of Marvel podcast, which I haven't had a chance to listen to yet. But I'm wondering, why would a Marvel podcast be having Katie Sackhoff on?
Yeah.
And I want to think it's because she's going to be Carol Danvers. I hope
so.
Oh,
no, that would be awesome.
In my heart of hearts.
She could have been coming in for an interview or a trial, screen trial or whatever. It's amazing what they do, because pictures have been leaking about different screen, what do they call them? Screen tests from different actors. And you're seeing all these actors in character. And it's all great.
Yeah. Please tell me that you've seen the one for Tom Hiddleston as Thor.
Yeah, I did. That was awesome. And I'm so glad we don't have him as Thor, because I think Chris
he's so delightful as Loki.
Adam on chat piped in and he said that the interview with Katie Sackhoff was at a con, and that was his first thought too when he saw it on iTunes, was that Carol Danvers. So all right. Well, talking about different main characters in the Marvel Universe, Hank Pym and Peggy Carter perhaps have a connection.
Right. They're releasing Marvel's Ant-Man Prelude number 1.
Which I have, but haven't been able to read yet.
Well, geez, get on that.
I was trying. It wouldn't load.
As a prequel to the upcoming Ant-Man movie. And in it, a young Hank Pym meets Peggy Carter. And I haven't read this comic yet either. But they're saying that this very strongly hints to him having some involvement with S.H.I.E.L.D. in the early days, mm-hmm. either as a consultant or something along those lines, for him to have crossed paths with Peggy.
Yeah, Lauren, I have to have your back, because Haley definitely has not read this comic, because she's still on 1971.
I keep trying to read it on Comixology. It only loads page 2 for me, and then I'm trying to load it again, and it's just like the little circular load screen.
Yeah.
Some BS, man. I'm going to try it on the iPad later tonight.
No, good luck.
And if it doesn't work, Lauren smash.
Pretty much.
Lauren, get new iPad, because Lauren smash existing iPad.
Yeah, Lauren, no smash iPad. Lauren, find something cheaper to smash.
Oh, there you go. So yeah, Hank Pym and Peggy Carter, that would be awesome to see an older Peggy Carter, basically. Haley does that makeup so well. We saw it in Captain America Winter Soldier, so I'm confident in her ability to play an older Peggy Carter. Okay, so the next thing we have is basically a Marvel collector package, kind of like Loot Crate.
I don't need this, but I need this.
I know. Oh, God.
Guess who signed up for it already? Yeah, me. So I don't sign up for Loot Crate, or I guess there's a couple of different ones out there, because there's a lot of fluff in these packages that come out that I'm like, I don't want that. But this looks like it's going to be cool. I mean, they do advertise it as no fluff. We'll see. But it's powered by Funko. So you're going to get a Funko one every 2 months. And I don't know if it's worth $25, but I'll hang in there.
I mean, well, you get a t-shirt, look, it has the Hulkbuster.
And that's the only way you're going to be able to get that figure, according to them.
Right. Or at least that version of it. So yeah, we'll see what happens. And, you know, maybe somebody will donate one of these to the podcast, and, you know, we'll just have to give it out as a contest. You know, we'll see. We'll see.
Or, you know, not give it out and just keep it for ourselves.
That could happen. That could happen. Okay. So we talked about interviews before. Haley Atwell and James Darcy gave a couple of pretty good ones. I read this. This was good.
Right. This is an interview that they did with Nerdist, and it starts off, they were separate interviews. So Peggy does an interview first, and it talks about how she fills a void that the world has for a two-fisted pulp heroine, which is just a fantastic description of her.
Yeah.
Towards the end of the interview, they ask, has Joss Whedon offered you any insider guidance? And she says, no, the last time I saw Joss, I was getting drunk with him in a bar, and we didn't talk about work.
We're just getting drunk. I want to get drunk with Joss Whedon.
That's perfect.
Didn't he have the Firefly cast over to his house and they just got drunk or something? And then that's what created the sing-along movie or whatever? I got that completely wrong.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I know he did the Much Ado movie in like a weekend at his house, though.
Yeah.
Party at Joss's house. We're all going to get paid. Right.
And then in the James Darcy interview, they ask, have you discussed a second season yet? And he says, I don't have that information, unfortunately. We'd love to. I hope that there's an audience for it. It would be great. But they don't have any more information.
I'm an audience.
You'll have at least three viewers. We'll be there.
Right.
And he said Jarvis in his own head, he's Jackie Chan.
I can see that. Or, what's that with the Green Lantern movie? I know it wasn't a very good movie, but what was the character in that Green Lantern? The driver?
Which one?
The Seth Rogen one.
Kato.
Green Hornet.
Yeah, that's Green Hornet.
There you go. Not Green Lantern,
Kato.
Green Hornet.
The guy that was originally Bruce Lee in the TV show.
Right. Yeah. I could see Jarvis pulling out that, but he's unassuming so far. And in some of the action that he's been in, it would be hard to reconcile that as it goes on for him to be a martial art badass. But I don't know. We'll see. All right. Talking about some kind of serious topics here. Author Tamara Pierce and discussions on racial diversity in Agent Carter.
Okay, so while there has been a lot of push towards, everyone call, email, tweet, ABC, whatever, try to let them know that there is interest in renewing Agent Carter, there's also some people who are pointing out, and honestly, very justifiably so, that this show is, let's face it, very white.
Yes.
And it's been pointed out in several other posts and stuff that I've seen that there were, at this time period in the comics, Asian agents, especially Asian women agents. I mean, we could see Agent May's mother as an agent, maybe. In this area of New York that they're living in, there's a thriving Black community. There's a thriving Hispanic community. Not as much as I think until, I'm not real sure of the history of like Spanish Harlem as much as I am with Harlem. But, you know, it's not like New York was just this one monoculture.
Nope. It was always a melting pot.
Exactly. It was one of the big immigration points in the U.S.
Yep.
And so people have been pointing this out. And Tamora Pierce, who's an author whose books The Lioness Quartet have been very highly regarded on her Tumblr, tamorapierce.tumblr.com, posted basically saying, what would be more offensive to you, Black help and Blacks in service or no Blacks? And it's one of those things, okay, people of color weren't only in subservient positions at this time. Like, seriously, in the comics, there were Black SHIELD agents, there were Asian SHIELD agents. We've seen Gabe Jones and Jim Morita But, and then when this was pointed out to her, she posted another response and tried to clarify, and I don't think did the best job, but again, it's this discussion that's been ongoing in the fandom of the question of racial diversity on the show.
Yeah, it definitely is a concern, and they could be doing a little bit better. We talked about a different facet of the show last time where we were talking about the sets and it not really being the same scene as you would actually get in a New York in 1946. And definitely some play sets, some sound stages have been put together to go ahead and do this. And it's pretty obvious. So you equate that with the casting and the available personnel that they're throwing at this, and they're trying to make it a white America post-World War II.
It's the same complaint that you see about shows like Friends or Girls or any other show, Seinfeld, any other show set in New York that has a primarily or pretty much only white cast. It's just that this show is set in a different time period, but there's still the melting pot aspect of New York to consider.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I think part of the problem that the show is facing is they really wanted to talk about the sexism of the era. So you have Peggy Carter as the lone woman in this male-driven industry, and maybe they didn't want to also address the issue of racism at the time, and it would be hard to, you know, have the one black agent or something like that in there without discussing it.
Right, because the whole race issue boiled up in the 60s, so it's like 20 years removed. So I can see that, but at the same time, it's... You're right. The New York's a melting pot. Ellis Island had, I can't remember, like 40% or more of, actually, it's more than that. I don't remember the exact stat, but there's an enormous amount of people that are living in the United States today that can trace their lineage right back to Ellis Island. Somebody that had stepped foot on Ellis Island as they're coming through. And the large majority of them kind of stayed in New York. Now, some.
Yeah, isn't it like one in six people who live in New York now can find an ancestor who came in on through Ellis Island?
Yeah, I think it's probably that, but there is a large percentage of America's population that can. Now, some of that is changing because of the mass migration that is going on along our southern border as well right now. But 10 years ago, it was definitely a large, like 30 or 40 or maybe even 50%, something like that. It was huge.
But, and there's also to consider from just the comics point of view, there were SHIELD agents and superheroes active in that time period who were of different racial
Gabe Jones
identities.
Was an agent at the time, as far as named agents.
I forgot her name. There's a female agent who is Asian, and I can't remember her name, but I just saw somebody writing about her today.
I'm trying to remember.
I'm blanking out.
The woman who was Yellow Claw's niece or whatever, I think she went on to become a SHIELD agent later.
Okay.
But I'm not positive.
Okay, so there is possibilities, and hopefully they will intertwine that into the story as they go along. If not in this season, if they get a season two, definitely that would be good to see. I think we're all in agreement on that. And
agreed.
And we'll see how that goes. So talking about something else that wasn't exactly great, Chadwick Boseman gave an interview. It's on the Nerdist as well as the other interviews that we were talking about before. It's not exactly the best interview in the world. Go ahead and read it, and if you want some information on the Black Panther and what's going on there, but it's just a couple of questions that are answered and doesn't really give you too much insight on what's going on.
He did what we on GPR like to call Moffat-splaining, where he spoke words but no explanations came.
Yeah, and there was even some inferences thrown in there, like, okay, he was talking about this, but who knows if he really was or not. But anyway, he gave an interview. Well, look forward to his next interview. And also, he's probably not too involved in the project as it is now. So as it goes along, he'll probably get a little bit more comfortable with the Marvel universe and the Marvel machine. Okay, well, going back to, we were talking about era costumes, era sets, era diversity. There is an article as well this week on the Nerdist about Agent Carter costumes.
Yes. Okay. So this article is by Amy Ratcliffe. She's on Twitter at Amy_geek. And she's worth a follow, in my opinion. I've been following her for years. Anyway, she wrote this article about the costuming in Agent Carter and what it says about, it's showing like some of the sketches for these outfits, like the blue suit with the red fedora and the, outfit that she wears, you know, the gold one that looks all pretty when she's wearing the wig with like a cape in the sketch. Yeah. So I keep thinking Galadriel.
Yeah, I kept thinking like Cruella de Vil when I saw that.
I see Galadriel.
Okay.
I mean, she is an elven queen.
Yep.
But yeah, she goes on to talk about some of the different costumes of the other characters, what it kind of points out about the characters. I'm kind of a sucker for this. I follow another blog called Hello Taylor.
Yep.
Where she talks about this sort of thing too. And yeah, it's an interesting read, especially if you're interested in the visual language of the show.
Right. And it's not just the female costumes either. No.
There's Jarvis. There's the agents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then there's Peggy Carter showing us her stunt gear by lifting up her skirt.
Yeah.
Because you got to pack all that stunt gear stuff in there, the harnesses for the wire work. And you also have to
put the mic packs, yep, all that kind of gear, yeah, and stuff. That's got to be worked into the costuming.
Yeah. Yeah. It's one of those things where you have to know how to design the stuff and cut it, because otherwise it's going to be just bulging out everywhere in weird looking places.
Right. Right. And being an audio guy, obviously, with the podcast here, you kind of wonder, well, how are they doing the audio? And you kind of think, well, they're doing shotgun mics or whatever. No, there's an actual, they've, I don't know how many mics, but they've got multiple mics on these characters because they really want to prevent going back and doing ADR later, because that's time and money and whatever. And they have, in the Agent Carter costume article that we were just talking about, they say they have 8 days per episode. And that's pretty standard in the television industry, 8 days per episode. And then you have to move, yep, on. So that's all the time you get for any facet, whether it's CGI or whether it's the sound or costumes or whatever, stunts. Yeah, it has to be done within those 8 days. So, well, moving on to Avengers, Age of Ultron. We have a couple stories here. The first one is they came out with some promo art, which is basically, you know, if you're interested in a team, college, NFL, hockey, whatever, there's these big stick-on things that'll go on your wall that you can take off later, right?
The decals.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which was awesome, and I wish I would have had them when I was younger, but all we had were posters, so, I mean...
Yeah, that's all I had was posters.
Right. Well, these things they're making for Age of Ultron, they're awesome. Go and check them out. The link's obviously in the show notes, and you will see all the great Captain America, the Hulkbuster suit, and so on and so forth. It's great.
Okay, I really want Hawkeye's costume.
Yeah?
Yeah, just...
Just the costume?
The boots, the coat, yeah.
You don't want Hawkeye? You just want the costume.
I mean, he's a good-looking guy, too, but I am in love with this costume.
Yeah. Thor's pretty good. There's a Hulk, and there's Ultron itself. Now, you know, Ultron's got a pose going, too. He's like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's Vision.
Mm-hmm. Lots of good stuff.
Got a good look at Vision.
And, yeah, this is all powered by Fathead, by the way, so that's what we're talking about. All great stuff. All right. So, in addition to the promo art, we actually got pictures from the set.
Yeah, lots of pictures. And just one of the things that I definitely want to comment on is Captain America's suit, because I have to comment on it in every movie.
Right.
And it looks a lot closer to his World War II one, but it's not the same one. It's
his
newer.
Ears are poking through. He's yeah, got to be happy about that.
He's not smashing
that.
His ears down.
I've got a question for you on it. Okay, so there's these red, almost, they look like they're structural, woven into their suit, right? Those mm-hmm. red lines or whatever. In yeah. there, I'm wondering if it's I don't know if it's Stark or whoever gave him a powered version of the suit, so it's like Iron Man powered a little bit.
See, I was thinking that maybe it's just like strips of body armor or something like that.
Yeah, that could be too. But the reason I was thinking it could be actual like a suit or whatever, because that actually happens in the comics where it's found out that he has a virus, and that's really what the super soldier serum was. It turned out to be a virus, and you can design a retrovirus and you can take away his power. So that happens a couple of times. And when his power is taken away, he still wants to go out there and do great stuff, but he needs the extra oomph.
The oomph.
So he gets a suit and I forget who makes the suit for him or whatever. So that's what I'm thinking. It could be part of that, but I don't know.
Also, yeah. I really like the way you don't really see it in the pictures that we saw from the wall decals. But this picture of Cap where you see his face at like a 3/4 angle, you see the way that the helmet is. It's kind of suggesting the head wings, yep. but they're not like actually right. painted on or anything. I love the way that looks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like a seam in between pieces of the helmet or something. But yeah, it's really cool.
And the actual leather gloves and leather boots, but it's got the red strips on there too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, again, it keeps the look, but it's just like way more practical looking. It's almost like parts of it almost look like a football uniform, like American football hand.
Yeah, I mean, it's got like the shoulder pads and stuff like that.
I have to point out on the shoulders is the little Avengers symbol.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So it's not America, it's Avengers.
Like, that was one of my least favorite things about the first Avengers movie. I was not crazy about Cap's suit. I thought it was too bright and shiny.
Well,
but this one,
Coulson designed it himself.
He was a fan.
He got a little enthusiastic.
Right.
Turned up the brightness on the colors a little bit. There's pictures of people besides Captain America in this as well, if you care about that kind of thing.
I mean, I guess there's Andy Serkis.
Yeah. There's Joss Whedon directing. There's the Hulk, Black Widow, Quicksilver,
Scarlet
Thor's
Witch.
Arms. Yeah.
Yeah, Thor's arms, Thor's hair.
We're coming up on it. Coming up. It's just 3.5 months away now, right?
Oh, this reminds me. I didn't make it to the news article, but I saw this interview from earlier today, and I think it was on like Entertainment Weekly or something. I don't know. But I guess the Avengers press stuff has like officially begun because Mark Ruffalo, I keep wanting to say Natasha, but that's not her name, Scarlett Johansson, and I think Chris Evans were at some event.
You can call her Lucy, too.
I haven't seen that.
Me either.
I kind of refuse to, just because I know the whole 10% of the brain thing's going to just make me infuriated.
That bad science, we should be beyond that by now, but.
But anyway, they just start going on and on about how beautiful Chris Hemsworth is. They're like, yeah, he went to take a nap and he just fell down in this perfect heap with his like lion's mane of hair, just perfect. It's like all three of them just going on and on about how wonderful and perfect and beautiful Chris Hemsworth is.
Yeah, well, we all watched the panel at Comic-Con, and he was right there next to Chris Evans, and his arm is about the size of Chris Evans' chest, and Chris Evans ain't small in the muscle department. So, yeah, Chris Hemsworth's got going on. Absolutely.
Yes, he does.
Yes. Yes, he does.
Here he is. It's from Eonline. Chris decided to take a little cat nap, Johansson remembered. He collapsed into a giant perfect heap, his lion's mane gracefully falling around his prominent chiseled features. My God, proclaimed Ruffalo, what a specimen.
Yeah, Ruffalo ain't, I don't care. He's never going to get that buff. He's just not going to happen.
That's fine. He looks fine the way he is.
How much
he hulks out. It's fine.
Yeah, right.
They'll fix it in post.
The big guy. Yeah, there you go. That's the one type. Yeah, I don't care. Fix in post. Okay, so Lauren, you've read or tried to have read at least a comic.
I did read this. You did actually
read this. Okay. Comic on the origins of Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver.
Yes. So this comic, I think, also came out this week, and it's called Avengers Age of Ultron Prelude, the Sceptered Isle Infinite comic number 1. Even though I think it might be just an online thing. I'm not positive because it kept doing the whole, like, the way that it was structured was very definitely for, like, reading on, like, a screen.
Okay.
But anyway, I got it on Comixology, and it goes into the whole how the Loki Pokey stick got into Hydra's hands and how and where they found Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch and what they are. Remember when we were all, oh, they're Inhumans. Oh, they're, you know, all this stuff. No, they're just like some protesters in this Eastern European country that Hydra is like, hey, if you really want to make a difference, come with us. And they're like,
would you like to know more?
I guess. Yeah. Would you like to know more? Click. And then it goes directly into the scene and to like a drawn adapted scene of, you know, the end stinger from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Prequel comics or stories or whatever, I have a love-hate relationship with them because I'm getting more and more excited about the upcoming film, like Star Trek Into Darkness. I read the, Into Darkness comics. There's Countdown to Darkness, right?
Yeah.
I read them. They were great. It gave me some insight into the universe and what happened in between the movies, right? But it misled me a little bit into what the story was actually going to be in the movie. So I'm like, eh. It was good, and I liked the gender switch of Harry Mudd. I enjoyed that immensely, but it never made it into the film, so I'm like, eh. Well, we'll see. Not the only one that I've done like that. There's been prequel comics to quite a few movies out there, so I'll probably check these out, and just so I have background, and we'll see how that goes. So, also, in conjunction with everything else that was going around on the Super Bowl. There is an Age of Ultron TV spot out there now, and I gotta say, it's a lot lighter. It's not as dark and boding as the other spots have been that we have seen. The same film, the same scenes, right? But it's just the tone of the music is a little bit different. So I wish the Frenchie was here so he could dissect the tone of the trailer, but he's not. So anyway, if you haven't checked it out, go to our YouTube link. You can go check it out. But also there was 90 Seconds of Bliss for these two ladies that was handed out as well.
We finally got a Daredevil, what they're calling a teaser trailer, which I don't know how it's any different from a trailer because it's 90 seconds, which is longer than a teaser.
Yeah, it seems like a regular trailer to me.
Well, I don't know. Wasn't the Star Wars trailer a teaser trailer considered a teaser? And that was 88 seconds, right?
Yeah, but like there were no words in the Star Trek one. This one is very clearly a trailer. We get Matt walking around in his black suit, which is the only one we've seen him in so far. The like ninja suit with the blindfold on. And we've got like kind of bits of the movie where he's going in to talk to a priest. He's going into a confessional and he specifically says, I'm not asking for forgiveness for the things I've done. I'm asking for forgiveness for what I'm about to do.
Yeah.
Which, that's awesome setup. Well done with this whole trailer thing here.
Yep. It got me more and more excited about it. That's for sure.
April 10th.
The teaser to the teaser trailer, because they gave it like a
right. The like 10 second yeah. one they put out the day before.
I was like, really? That just didn't work for me. But this one was a lot better. It combined what you guys have taught me about the character in addition to the movie, the Ben Affleck movie that we saw. So I'm getting a sense of what's going on with this Netflix series now. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I'm so excited.
And are you more excited for Daredevil or Jessica Jones?
Jessica Jones.
Yeah, kind of figured. Okay, but what you can also be excited about is this pretty tight costume that takes four people to fit on.
Okay, so yes. We have talked about the costume, talked about how it is a ninja costume and it's not red. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in a second. But on E! Online, Charlie Cox was talking about the costume and he said that they're very clever about it. You get three zippers, you zip them all up. But when you have to wee, you only zip one down, the wee zipper. And he refused to answer whether or not he's going commando under there. I read something. I can't remember where. For the life of me, I can't remember where. It was the Stephen DeKnight talking about the trailer and talking about the costume. And he did confirm that the ninja outfit that we've seen is like really his first attempt at trying to be a vigilante and trying all this. So if we do see the red outfit, it probably won't be until closer to the end of the series.
Series or season?
Season.
Season, series. My sense is that each of these shows that they've got in the plans right now is designed to kind of stand alone. And then if they do more later, it's probably going to be not like season two of Daredevil and then season two of Jessica Jones. It's going to be some combination of characters in an ongoing series.
Mm. Yeah, like maybe Defenders season two or something. We'll see.
Right.
Got the sense that Jessica Jones is going to originally show up in Daredevil. Am I getting that right?
I would love that, considering that they do in the comics. I mean, she does have a thing for him, like... I think it was she was sleeping with Scott Lang and dating him. And apparently she got drunk and started saying how he wasn't nearly as awesome as Matt Murdock or something like that.
All right. Comparing
like you do.
Comic book partners in bed. That's great.
Well, you know, when your universe goes on for 50 years.
It's like
love triangles get a little complicated.
Yeah, it's true.
Oh, I should try and find it and post it on Facebook. Maybe there was somebody did like a diagram of all of the relationship interactions in the entire Marvel comic universe.
Really? It is complicated.
And it's like for Wolverine, there's like 30 lines connected yes. to his picture.
Yeah.
Well, do they take it into the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. as well? So you get.
I think it's just the comics.
Yeah, I mean, this came out a few years back, and it was just the comics at the time.
And I think if they're smart, it'll just be 616, because
you start
counting like, alternate universes, and it's like...
They had, like, different types of lines, so you had, you know, just a one-way crush in a relationship, actually slept together for sure, confirmed. It was fantastic.
All right.
Yeah.
So, our next news story basically says that Spider-Man is consuming enough eggs to feed Iowa.
Okay, so in the comics, Spider-Man typically has a mechanical web slinger that he built, but in the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man movies, he had his own little glands that produced this webbing. And somebody decided to do some sciencing and some mathing and figuring out how much protein he would need to eat to produce that kind of webbing. So for 100 meters of silk to be ready to go for a day of web slinging, he would need 90 grams of his hair-thin silk, and that would be about 60 eggs. So that's a lot.
That's a lot of eggs. And we're not talking about egg beaters here. We're talking about actually
right, like
eggs.
Like actual eggs.
The whole eggs. But you could theoretically eat 60 eggs. I mean, you'd probably need to puke, but you could do it.
Puke and rally.
I mean, I've seen some food challenges on YouTube. I mean, it's theoretically possible, but highly unpleasant.
But to do the big dive where he saves Mary Jane at the end of the movie, he would need to eat 900 eggs to produce enough of that silk.
No.
To which my response to that is Spider-Man and The Flash need to get together for breakfast every morning because they both need that amount of energy to go through.
He would need super speed to be able to eat that much.
Eat the eggs, Spider-Man.
Yeah, he would. You have to be enveloped by the Speed Force in order to do that.
And who is cooking all of these eggs?
Oh, no, nobody cooks it. He just like...
He still owns it from Rocky. He
Poor
Rockies
old Aunt
it.
May. No wonder she has a heart condition. She's spending hours a day in front of the oven.
We'll have to let Jay in on this and see what he thinks because he's a big Spidey fan. Which, by the way, Geeky Jerseys this month is doing a Spider-Man jersey. So if you're a Spider-Man fan, you got to check out geekyjerseys.com. And because unfortunately, the jersey is only available for a month. So that's all you get. So go check that out.
Speaking of gross and terrible ideas. So you know how people will occasionally get like, not occasionally, it's the thing. They get like fandom tattoos. I really want like Star Wars tattoos and a Lord of the Rings one. Well, technically the Silmarillion, but I'm just like really lazy. So I haven't gotten them yet.
Oh, question on Star Wars. Have you seen the Flying Millennium Falcon?
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome.
Isn't it? Okay. Well, here's somebody who has gotten really into it. You know how Hugo Weaving looks as the Red Skull, like after he takes his face off and he has like no nose?
Mm-hmm.
Sexy.
According to...
Well, honey, if that's what it takes.
According to the Mirror and the Daily Mail, and I'm going to warn y'all, we're going to link this. There are pictures, so be warned. I'm repeating this. There are
pictures,
so be warned. It doesn't bother me, but I watch surgeries on YouTube on like a semi-regular basis because I don't know, there's something wrong with me. So Henry Damon of Caracas, Venezuela has long dreamed of looking like Red Skull. Of all the characters he could look like, I don't know why, but anyway, he's gotten his wish.
I heard cut off his nose.
Got his eyelids tattooed black. And then got facial tattoos and facial ridges.
So are the ridge implants supposed to look like the skull? Because they don't really.
I don't know if... I guess the eyebrow ridges are supposed to. I'm not real sure about the forehead ridges.
Because those look like something else.
Yeah.
It looks like the Taurus symbol.
Mm. I've been fortunate enough not to see a single picture of this, but I have seen posts from 4 people that I'm friends with on Facebook saying, please don't send this to my stream anymore. I don't want to see it anymore. 4 different people today. I was like, I'll trust those 4 people and I will not seek this out.
If you cut off your nose, like how much of a risk for infection do you have now that you've got this gaping orifice in your face?
Well, it's not... Okay. The cartilage part is gone. He still has like his nose bridge and he still has the septum, but he doesn't have like the nostrils.
Are you sure he still has the septum?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm looking at it right now.
She's looking at the septum.
Better you than me.
Yeah, it looks like, okay, Kevin Bacon's nose freaks me out.
Yes, mine
and
too.
And it looks like a little bit more extreme version of Kevin Bacon's nose, but like with scar tissue where the nostrils should be.
Did we run the story about how Kevin Bacon was okay with Guardians of the Galaxy? I mean, he was like totally cool with it. They didn't consult him at all.
Yes.
But
yeah.
He was totally cool with it.
Oh, well, okay. I know that I heard that he thought it was awesome, but...
And that was before the movie got as big as it did, so...
So I'm just going to say, this guy did all this stuff. He doesn't really look very much like the Red Skull.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
The beard doesn't help.
No, and I've seen way better facial tattoos. I don't know, the color and the shading I don't think are very good.
Well, I'm all for cosplay. I really am. And I've seen some tremendous cosplay, and I'm actually jealous because I don't know how to sew. I don't know how to work material. I would have to have somebody do it for me, right? Even if I wanted a suit of armor like 501st or whatever. I don't know. I've never done it before. I probably could pick it up, but I just don't have the time or the real need to go do it. But this is taking it to a whole new level.
I think body modification is very interesting. I think it can be an amazing art form. But the thing is that the nose cutting off, a bit extreme. Okay. But again, if you compare it at a cultural level, how is it really any more different from like getting the bridge of your nose shaved off, from getting chin implants, from getting...
Like, what's her name that showed up? Was she in Jerry Maguire? Is that who I'm thinking of? And she showed up and she was totally different from...
Renee Zellweger.
Yeah, Renee. Yeah. Yeah. She's totally different from what she was, just out of the blue.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's all, you know, in the eyes of the culture who's doing it. But the thing is, what bugs me about this is that I really don't think the tattooing is that good.
Well, I'll take your word for it because I'm never going to seek this out.
I don't blame you.
Yeah, like, it reminds me of when I went to go see episode 2 and I painted my face to look like Darth Maul, but I used, like, instead of actually good quality paint, I used, like...
Sharpies?
No, grease paint.
Oh, okay.
Like, from Halloween.
Right.
Yeah, it didn't look that good.
Yeah, and it runs off. It runs off.
It looks shiny. It doesn't look good.
And you're in the heat bowl down there.
Oh, yeah, no, I was in Laredo at the time, and it was May, so it was already like 110 degrees.
Amazing.
But yeah, if you're sensitive to that sort of thing, you probably don't want to click that link. Let the words that we have described satisfy your curiosity. If you do want to be critical about his choices in tattooing, as I am, because seriously, I think the shading could have been done so much better. And I really don't like the red effect on his forehead. It looks like raw meat or like a scab. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So this will not be the last story we run on this series.
We'll leave you with something happy.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. This last story, it won't be the last time we talk about it. We've talked about it before. We'll talk about it again because there's a couple more events that are coming up. But I received in the mail today my charity.
Yay!
The Superhero Bowl t-shirt with the Star-Lord and Captain America football helmets on from the Outlaw versus the Patriot. And we won't talk about the game because, you know, there's hard feelings with that, whatever. But the winners definitely were Star-Lord and Captain America.
Let's face it, the real winners... were Marvel.
Yeah, and the kids. Which we'll talk about probably next week and the week after. But when they actually go to these places, because this came out and they said that they're going to do both, like we all said that we're going to do, and it's awesome. But at the Super Bowl, they were at the Super Bowl with Jimmy Fallon, and they had a blast doing something, Lauren, didn't they?
Oh my God, yes. So... you know how people do like photo bombing and you'll see just like a celebrity or just some random person coming through behind a picture and like doing something weird or making a stupid face, or if you're Benedict Cumberbatch hopping up while, you know, sticking your arms up in the air. Well, Chris Evans, Chris Pratt, and Jimmy Fallon decided to photobomb people taking pictures at the Super Bowl. And they got a video, and it was on Jimmy Fallon's show.
I'm watching it right now.
I know, it's amazing, isn't it? They are adorable.
I got to the part where Chris Pratt has that sandwich hanging out of his pants.
Yeah. If the words Chris Pratt with a sandwich hanging out of his pants doesn't amuse you, you have no soul.
And by the way, this season of Parks and Rec, which just started after the holidays, it is hilarious. And
it's in the future, so now it's technically sci-fi.
Yeah, yes. Right. So it's 2017, and they have the Tony Stark, you know, phones, whatever, with Grizzle.
The Grizzle drones.
Yeah, it's great. It is hilarious. But watching Chris Pratt play the character that he's played all this time, and knowing he's Star-Lord at the same time, and knowing that he's going to be in the Jurassic Park movie, and knowing that he's being considered for Indiana Jones, you're just looking at him going, wow, this is just totally different character. But
I love whenever people post things from Parks and Rec and Andy doing or saying something stupid and then put like, I'm so glad this man is guarding our galaxy.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, I think my favorite part of this was when Chris Pratt's like, do you think he could jump over me? And then Chris Evans is like, yeah, definitely. You just duck your head a little. And they do. And Chris Evans, I mean, the guy has a vertical leap, all right? Because
he is Captain America.
He is Captain America because Chris Pratt is not a small dude.
No. No.
It's a great, great little YouTube video. It's only about like 3-4 minutes long. And it's really funny. These guys just, they're goofballs. And I love them more with every video and interview that I see of them. And it's really nice to see Chris Evans having fun and not looking like he wants to like run away.
Yeah, it's a fun video. Go ahead, check it out if you haven't seen it already. It's fun. All right. Any more news, ladies?
I think that's about it for news.
That's enough for this week. Yeah. All right. So now on to feedback. We have a couple of tweets and so on and so forth. The first one goes to our pal Christy at Adana Girl, and she gives us this Agent Carter shirt punch tee. What do you ladies think?
I wish I had seen this earlier because I love it.
Yeah. Time to go get it. And is it done?
I think it's done. It's not on the page anymore.
Bummer. All right. Well, it was a great Agent Carter t-shirt. So I hope that more will be on their way. Also, A Little Too Clinical tweeted and he said, gotta side with Stargate Pioneer on the whole Sitwell thing. Look at Bucky, Zola, even Deathlok. Who knows what he could survive? Woohoo.
He's dead. He's dead, Jesse.
I will concede. Okay, I will make a concession here. Sitwell can be alive if. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're going to say.
What I'm going to say. If Trip can also be alive.
Yeah, that would be nice to have Trip back. I just don't think Trip's going to happen. And I also think Sitwell is done for, but I don't think he's dead. I just don't think we're going to get back. So thank you very much, Jesse. I appreciate the support because it's much needed in this crowd, let me tell you. Operator tweeted us and he said, he retweeted Melinda May and he said, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. gag reel from Wizard World, Portland. Have you ladies seen this?
I have not had a chance to watch this one.
Oh, okay. So we'll talk about it right now. I won't spoil anything. Go ahead, watch it, and we'll talk about it next time. How about?
Okay.
So at Kodiak GWC also tweeted us and he said, quote unquote, I'm just trying to make my city a better place. Hashtag Daredevil. So yes, that was from the Daredevil trailer.
Hashtag Arrow.
Yeah, there you go. It's hard. Whenever a city comes up, it's like it's Arrow. It's got to be Arrow. Which was awesome this week, by the way.
Oh, yes. So good.
Yes.
Everybody go watch it.
And Richard also tweeted us and he said, hashtag Miss Union Jack. Yes, absolutely. Yes. And then Mr. Pericletes tweeted us and he said, hey kids, it's John Glover. Applause. Yay.
It's who?
The reporter, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess the guy who played Lionel Luthor in Smallville, right?
Oh, I never watched Smallville.
I saw like an episode. My sister was really into it for a while. It was one of those ones that I kept meaning to watch and then I never did. And then I'd heard that it was way past its prime.
Mm-hmm.
So I just never bothered.
All right, moving on to Facebook. We put a Facebook post out there on our Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcast Facebook, and it said it was an article, and it was, I forget where the article was from, but the title of the article was Rumor, Thor Ragnarok Director Shortlist Revealed, Darcy's Future in Question.
No!
Yeah, that would be a huge mistake for Marvel.
Was this the one from the Reddit story?
Yes, yes.
Okay, yeah, I intentionally did not include this in the news. Because this is not news, because I don't believe that this person is real. Because
right.
No one in their right mind would cut Darcy
right.
from
and,
Thor.
And I just wanted to point out that every single comment that we got back was like, yes, Darcy still needs to be in there. I watch Two Broke Girls because of her. She's great. She's got great timing. And, you know, it's obvious, like, they take, like, 10 shots sometimes or whatever. But you put her with Thor, you put her with all the characters in the Thor universe, and she's a must. You have to have her there, and I can't wait till she gets to Asgard. That will be awesome.
I am biased.
Okay.
I've written Darcy fanfic.
There you go. There you go. Gotta have the Darcy. All right, we do have a voicemail. Are you guys ready to hear it?
Ready.
Hey, agents, it's Adam. This week's episode seemed like it was really an episode about Thompson. I mean, he finally went from being a stereotype to a real character, but his last little prank he pulled before actually having character development looks like it's gonna, you know, turn everything on its head again. still really looking forward to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. coming back, but Agent Carter isn't bad. Talk to you later. Bye.
So we definitely did talk about the Thompson issue before. It was kind of a Thompson-centric episode. They were trying to bring him up, but we can't get past the dickness. Yes, it's true. This man has no dick. Yeah.
I kind of think, though, he's going to become the guy that's in Peggy's corner going forward.
I think so, too.
Yeah, it's going to be hard not to, but yes, I think everybody's excited for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Everybody's excited for Daredevil. Everybody's excited for Avengers, unless you're Wang and you're totally wrong. And everybody's excited for Jessica Jones. So it is definitely going to be... 2015 is awesome just in Marvel alone, let alone the other stuff that's out there. So that's awesome. Hey, just a reminder, we do have the voicemail line. If you want to shoot us your thoughts on our podcast, the episode, Marvel Universe in general, go ahead, give us a call. 844-THE-BUS-1, that is 844-843-2871. And we've enjoyed this week. Ran a little bit long, but we were having fun talking about Agent Carter and all the great feedback and news items, weren't we, ladies?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So thank you very much for you guys. We don't get anything out of this podcast except for talking with each other unless you guys come out and tweet us or message us on Facebook or email us or go to forums or whatever. So every single one of you that does that or calls the voicemail line or whatever, we really appreciate your interaction. It really makes us be able to deliver you a better product that you enjoy listening to. And we enjoy you interacting with us because that's why we do this. We love talking about Marvel, don't we, ladies?
Yes.
Yes, we do. As you can see by the fact that we've been talking about it for
an hour and a half
yeah.
Now.
Yeah.
Editing hell for me. Yeah, great.
I am sorry.
I'm not sorry. Sorry, I'm not sorry.
You're not sorry. Miss, I'm 2 weeks behind with my Crimson podcast editing.
Dude, hush. We'll be caught up by the end of the week. I'm off tomorrow. I'm off Sunday. I'm going to get them out.
All right. Awesome. Can't wait because they've been awesome episodes.
So, yeah, if you like Crimson Comet, you're going to get tons of it this week.
Woohoo!
It's going to be great.
All right. And just a reminder again, Unqualified Gamers is on their 100th episode. So go ahead, give them a shout out on Twitter. Go to their webpage. They have different places at unqualifiedgamers.com or the Gonna Geek webpage at gonnageek.com and hit them up there. It'd be awesome.
So 100 podcasts, isn't that usually the mark for when it's time to have catastrophic equipment failures?
Yep. Yep. I think.
Congratulations, guys.
Yeah, good luck. All right. Next week, we'll be talking about Agent Carter season one. I'll say season one. You guys have convinced me, but it's the event. So season one, episode 6, A Sin to Air, and all of our contact information, go to our website, legendsofshield.com. We'll take you to our page on the Gonna Geek website where you can find all of our great contact information on the top right-hand side. You can also email us. My email is stargatepioneer@gonnageek.com. We have Haley@gonnageek.com and Lauren@gonnageek.com. Kind of boring that way. You can also hit up Wing and tell him how he's wrong, although, you know, you pick how he's wrong. And yes, Willie, because I know Willie's going to chime in on this. Yes, we know you guys both love the Hulk. Got it. Hulk's not a bad movie. It's just not the best.
The best. Yeah.
Yeah. So thank you guys very much. We really appreciate you sticking in there with us. You ladies have anything else for the week?
Go check out the Orphan Black Pop Funko figures.
Yes.
That will be my parting thought.
There you go.
I desperately need tiny, angry Helena.
And pencil in the eye, Rachel.
Yeah.
All right. Until next week, I'm Agent Stargate Pioneer.
I'm Agent Haley.
And I'm Agent Lauren.
Bye. See you guys next week.
Bye.
Later.
Thank you for listening. If you want to leave us feedback, go to gunnageek.com and you will find all of our contact information in other shows. You can also visit legendsofshield.com where you'll find our complete archive of podcasts. The music heard on this podcast is by Kevin McLeod and can be found at incompetech.com. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of the individual host and do not represent Legends, Stream, or Gunna Geek. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the property of the Disney Corporation. No infringement is intended.